1 Timothy chapter 4. We'll take the lid off the box or the top off the can, if you will, tonight from here. And I'm going to call upon you tonight to allow me to collect some times from you in a moment. I need to do some addition for my mental exercise. But 1 Timothy chapter 4. We find in the first five verses or so, a number of warnings and cautions and corrections in thinking. And verse 5 again draws our attention to the Word of God. And in this statement, it is sanctified by the Word of God. Every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. It is sanctified by the Word of God in prayer. And prayer. And then we look at the sixth verse, and there's a pertinent word for us tonight, the word nourished. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith. Again, our attention is drawn to the words of faith, the Word of God, nourished up in those words. Out of the Word of God comes, of course, the doctrine, faith and good doctrine. The junk food is seen in verse number 7, the profane and old wives' fables. And that's a contrast to the words of faith and so forth, the junk food in verse number 7. And then we look at verse number 8. Says their bodily exercise profiteth little. A little. This is not an expression of something that's minimal or something to be brushed off to the side. The sense of it is that when there is bodily exercise engaged by people, it usually, if it is consistent, observed by people. You can see the results of it by and by. Okay, so bodily exercise profiteth, but it says godliness is profitable. It's viewed in just the same, with the same clarity. Godliness is profitable unto all things, observable in all things, having the promise of life that now is and that which is to come. And then, if you would, drop down in there to verse number 11 where it says, these things command and teach. And that, of course, has reference to the preceding notations in those verses that we just mentioned. We notice that in the, where these things have reference to things that are in God's Word, we don't command or teach anything but what is founded in and comes out of God's Word. And if you do, then it becomes nothing more than opinion and men's tradition, and of course you don't put a lot of weight on that. Then verse number 12, let no man despise thy youth. But then it says, it talks about an exemplary life. An exemplary life in several things. In word, charity, and spirit, faith, and purity. And of course, for future reference, the word spirit we can equate to the heart of the issue, the heart. So exemplary living will involve those components. And here's how you prepare that package, or you prepare that dish. If I may liken one's exemplary life to a deluxe menu item. And here's how it's prepared. In verse number 13, give attendance to reading. Reading what? Reading God's Word. And exhortation, give attendance to that, and to doctrine. And again, both of those things will come out of the reading of the Scripture. Verse 15 calls upon us to meditate. Meditate is a word in and of itself that is suggestive of something you do at a dinner table. You put something in, and you just keep rolling it over and rolling it over in your mouth until it's chewed and able to be consumed. Meditate, give thyself wholly to these things, that thy profiting may appear to all. Then in verse number 16, simply continue in them, persevere in this. Now, I want to, again, draw the focus where it is rightly to be laid in this particular chapter, in these few verses, is the Word of God. The Word of God, so critical, so necessary to an exemplary life, the kind of life that when people pass by, they might like to have something like that, something similar to that. Now, here's where I'd like to have you help me. I'm going to ask you on a number of items, if in your own personal experience, how much time it takes to prepare a certain item for your consumption. Just ballpark it. You don't have to be precise. Just ballpark it. Like, for example, how much time does it take you to prepare toast? How much time? And the question is, can you prepare toast as fast as Wendy's can get you your hamburger coming around the drive-thru? How long does it take to prepare a piece of toast? I'm talking about dunking it in, putting the salve on it. How much time?
30 seconds.
30 seconds? You take a piece of bread, you put it in a toaster, and then it comes out of the toaster and you put butter or whatever it is you put on it. How much time does it take?
About 5 minutes.
5 minutes for a toast?
My toaster's not that fast as your toaster.
30 seconds.
Okay, so let's come to the middle here. Let's just say, for argument's sake, 5 minutes. Okay, now, I don't know how many of you are interested in or have experienced the Chef Boyardee cuisine items. You can get them at your local Walmart. They're little cups of stuff. You take the lid off. You pull the metal back, put that plastic lid back on, put it in the microwave. How long can you have a nice portion of rice, raviolis, or spaghetti? 60 seconds, I would say to you, having experienced that pleasure. And it's good. So you pick a Chef Boyardee item. For 60 seconds, you got yourself a meal. Now, if you add the time it takes to prepare, getting the cannery, you don't want to put it in the microwave with the metal lid on, okay? You got to take, so we're going to say ballpark is 60 seconds. Okay, so we got 5 minutes and 60 seconds for two slam dunk items. Now, I got to ask this question. How long does it take for you to prepare lasagna? Just one standard size lasagna pan. How long does it take to prepare all the ingredients, get it in the pot, and then put it in the oven? How long? I know this is a challenge for you to think about, but just think about it. Just ballpark it. Don't give me science here. Well, now we don't want to go off a rabbit trail now. Just give me time. Time. That's all I want to hear. Time.
Are you just preparing it or are you baking?
You've got to prepare it before you put it in the oven. So how long altogether does it take?
Yeah, I'd take 2 hours.
Total of 2 hours before you're ready to put a fork in it?
No, are you going to cook it too?
Well, yeah.
You just said prepare.
Prepare it, and then so you can consume it. Now, come on, let's get with the program here. 2 hours.
2 hours.
2 hours. Okay, we're going to go 2 hours. That's 120 minutes. Now, what about a bowl of cereal? How long does it take for you to get a bowl of cereal ready?
About 3 minutes.
3 minutes. All right, so we're talking what? Generally speaking, a bowl of cereal. Standard American meal. 2 minutes? Okay, 2 minutes. Now, how about fried egg? One fried egg. How long does it take you to get the egg, crack it, and put it in the skillet, and make it ready to go on your plate? How long? Don't make any difference to me. Just cook it. Hey, I've cooked 9 million eggs. I know how long it takes. So give me a spin. Fried. A fried egg.
Do I have onions chopped up in it?
One hard.
All right. Now, how about a hard-boiled egg? How long does it take to do a hard-boiled egg?
10 to 12 minutes.
Yeah. 10 to 12. Okay, I think that's a pretty good idea.
Eating it, you want to have it peeled too. That takes a while.
Well, it surely shouldn't take a whole lot to peel it. Now, take me just a regular tossed house salad. How long does it take to prepare it, put it in a dish, ready to go.
Half hour at least.
Yep, have a bag salad.
30 minutes. All right, how about this? This is maybe your more experience. How about you're baking bread from scratch?
Hours.
Yeah, hours. Let me give you a start. You've got the dough ready to go. Okay, so how long, once you've got the dough ready to go, you shape your loaf, you put it in, how long does it take?
20 minutes.
If your dough is ready.
If your dough is ready.
You double raised it. You got to
double. So it's 20 minutes. All right. Okay. So we have toast. We have Chef Boyardee's. We have lasagnas. We have cereal. We have eggs. We have salad, and we have baked bread. All takes a little bit of time to go. Now, is there something to be said for the time that it takes? Oh, I want to say this. If you can, does it take? What does it say for your food if it takes you longer to prepare it than it does to eat it?
Oh, it's usually better.
Is it normally true that you can eat it quicker than you can prepare it?
Yes. Yes.
Does that discourage you?
Yes. Especially if it's not huge, like Thanksgiving.
Yes, of course. Right. Absolutely. So in other words, you can bury a meal a whole lot faster than you can to prepare it. Am I right? Now, when it comes to exemplary living, and you liken your life to one of those menu items, you pick one. Okay, how would you best describe your Bible reading time? Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Paul says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God." When you figure the time that you use to prepare and consume that item, how does it compare with what you do to put into what you put in your belly? More or less?
On your devotional time?
Well, you pick the time.
Okay, it's longer than preparing any one of those items.
Okay, would you say that that's normal?
For me.
The point I'm getting at is that there just may be in many churches an appetite for fast food, and that does not serve well to build a strong, nourished up individual in God's Word. I love Wendy's. I've never seen it. This place up on the hill, I've never seen a place faster than them. You put your order in on the side, you roll around there, they're taking your money, they're giving you your stuff, and you're out the driveway. That quick. You get down to the one in Natrona Heights, you pull up there, and they gotta ask you twice for what your order is. You roll around, and maybe you're gonna get the change that you get back, but when you wail up to the window to wait on your stuff, you're gonna be sitting there maybe a while, if there's a car in front of you or two. My instinct is that if I got to wait on something that I'm determined should be fast, it ruins my appetite. I'm saying to you that God's Word should never be placed in a category of a drive-by meal. It should be something you sit down and prepare for and take your time in consuming it. And when you consume it, then you sit down and you meditate a little bit on it. Let the thing settle in. Roll it around. Think about what you just ate. And be grateful to God that you have something of substance like the bread of life and the water to chase it down that God has provided for us. It's a great and wonderful blessing. And I think too many people spend too little time comparatively now. And not everybody. That's not a shotgun indictment, that's just an observation and a suspicion that too many people are too quick to eat out of God's Word if they really get past the grab a bagel and coffee and run out the door kind of a thing. Too many people may be sitting there, which may be very much apparent in the life of many churches. Do you have any questions or comments of your own on that subject? I would encourage you to spend a lot of time in.
One comment is sometimes sometimes when I read, you know, two or three times a day, I'm still chewing on it.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole thing is, if you bite off too much, then you got too much to chew all day long. Sometimes you need to not necessarily read a lot, but you need to make sure you spend the time chewing on it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't know about you. I've never heard anybody say this. It may be just peculiar to me, but sometimes, depending on what it is I'm eating like somebody's coming behind me to take what's there. And I try to pack as much in my face as I can at one bite. You know what I mean? Because that may be the last one. You remember I told you about the artwork the expertise that I have of taking a cup of spaghetti and packing a cup into a regular cup to get a plate load? I can really pack a cup, but I can also pack my face. And it's here. And so I'm sitting there and I'm enjoying that bite. I really am enjoying that bite. And I go back for another one. I pack my face with it again. And I just love it. It's just great. And I oftentimes wish for myself that on an everyday basis that would be the same attitude that I approach God's word with. Just keep shoving her in there like it's your very last bite. Very last bite. Roger, you had a hand up there waving at me.
So, I think that, I don't know, attitude I try to have is that I try not to give up until I'm satisfied. Sometimes it's only a chapter. Sometimes it can be several books. And until I am full, until I'm satisfied, do I feel that I've gotten what God has trying to teach me that particular image, give it back.
Mm-hmm. Well, just to give that some, can I give you, count it food for thought. Just think of it that way. It's worth fattening up on, I would say. If you're going to fatten up on something, fatten up on God's word.